Was on a donkey. Let's have a look at the first slide, and we'll do the reading together today. We've broken it up into various different bits, and we'll get the first slide. There we go. So let's read it together. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. You will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." So just imagine, you've got James and John, great friends of Jesus, traveling with him from Bath to Bristol, and they've stopped for a coffee in Salford. And then Jesus then says, "For the next stage of the journey, I need a Nissan Micra. Would you go into Keynsham, find a Nissan Micra parked near the council buildings, get in it and drive it here? If anyone says anything to you like, 'Oi, that's my car,' say to them, 'The Lord needs it,' and he'll let you have it." In more ways than one, probably. But would you do it? Slide number two, would you do it? Well, you wouldn't probably, would you? It would take a great deal of courage. You'd have to be absolutely sure it's what Jesus wanted, and you'd have to be brave. Now, obviously, this contemporary version was Jesus was asking his disciples to get a donkey, not a car. But surely, I'm amazed, really amazed, that the disciples didn't say, "Well, don't you want a horse at least?" You know, we'd be saying to Jesus, "Don't you want a Porsche? Don't you want a Rolls Royce fit for a king?" But no, those disciples actually didn't question. Questioning Jesus never really works, does it, somehow? I've tried it, doesn't work. Let's find out what the disciples did in the story. Let's read the next slide together. "This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. Say to daughter Zion, 'See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey.' The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to ride on." So the disciples did. They went and did as Jesus said straight away, no questions, not, "Are you sure? Exactly where is this donkey? Do you want a grey donkey or a brown one? Why can't we just walk?" All questions they showed they weren't willing to do it. They wouldn't have been willing to do it. And questions that we put up when God asks us to do stuff that we think that's a bit weird and maybe we don't really want to do them. Questions we use when we're trying to put off doing something. But Jesus needed them. He had a plan to follow. And his disciples were helping him to fulfill that plan. That plan had been written thousands of years before. Thousands, about a king riding in on a donkey. "See, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey," says Zechariah. And Jesus comes to you too. He comes to you with a plan. What's his plan for your life at the moment? Today? This week? This month? This year? We don't always know that yearly plan. We don't know often that life plan. But we do know that next step, which could be this afternoon. Or it could be tomorrow. Jesus takes us in steps, but he does have a plan. Let's read verse 8. "A very large crowd laid down their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road." So think back to the game. Put on lots and lots of jumpers on. We layer up our lives with stuff, don't we? Stuff that's good sometimes. Stuff that's not always necessary. Things we have, things we do can clutter up our lives. And Penny began to look like, although she's very slim and beautiful, the Michelin man, didn't she? Rather cumbersome, and if she tried to walk around and do stuff, it would have been a bit difficult. Also for Henry, who actually flung them on his head, looked a little bit cluttered up. And we do take on too much stuff. But let's concentrate on the second half of the game. That the main aim of the game was taking off these coats and jumpers and stuff. The crowd laid down their coats. They took them off. Instead of dumping them in a heap, they laid them down on the floor so Jesus' donkey could walk all over them. Why would a donkey walk all over the clothes? Well, they did that in those days. It was their thing to show they thought somebody was really important, somebody very royal. So they put the coats on the ground so that the person didn't get all dirty from all the dust. The coats would keep the dust down as the donkey walked over them. It was their way of showing that somebody was really, really important. And they thought Jesus was going to be the king that would free them from all these rulers who were being very horrid to them. But when they didn't fulfill that promise, when he didn't fulfill that promise, they soon turned against him and had him killed on Good Friday. But they'd got Jesus wrong in their own eyes. They had him wrong. It wasn't what he really was. What they thought was not right. But at that moment, on that day, he was very important. And we as a team wanted, as we planned this and listened to God, we thought God was really wanting us to focus on that phrase, laid down. The idea in the game, laying things down. So think about, what's Jesus' plan for your life? If you know it, what's his plan for you today, tomorrow, next day? Is there anything that you need to lay down? To stop doing or give away, that you can put a cloak down in front of Jesus. Why was Jesus doing it? Why was he riding in like that? You can see all the coats on that one, all the cloaks and stuff on the floor. Why was he riding in like that? Well, he was riding in like that because he was going to sacrifice the whole of himself. He didn't just lay down a part of his life, a bit of his life. It was actually the whole of his life because he thought we were important. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. That's what it says in 1 John. So he came into Jerusalem. He rode in as a king, but on a donkey, because he loves you. He died for you. He suffered more than we can imagine. He loves us. He loves you more than you can ever imagine. And that verse goes on, and we should lay down our lives. We should be prepared to give stuff up. He sacrificed the whole of himself. And he asks us to sacrifice more for him. Why? Because he loves us. We love him. And we want to show that we're grateful. We want to say thank you. What's he asking you to lay down at the moment? To sacrifice for him. When you sacrifice, you give up one thing for something that's even better. Now, God often asks us to give up that one thing because he's got something better. But you know what? He doesn't always show you that what that one thing better is. When we lived over the other side of town, we were looking for a new house. Everything we looked at was over that side. There was one we looked at over here. I did not want to move over here. Not at all. No. But we asked my parents which house they liked the best as a kind of a way of guiding us. And we prayed about that. That's what God wanted us to ask. And they chose the house here. I was crying. I didn't want to show them that. Crying in the kitchen whilst Peter was completely delighted. And we moved here. And I did not want to be here. No way. The kids were going to get married over there. There was going to be a lovely reception in the Vicarage Garden. They just started doing marquees in the garden. Like, yes, youth work was great. Children's work was fantastic. We came here. There were 5 children in the children's work. Well, what are you doing, God? But it was just the right place for us. It's always good. It's always good if we obey what he's asked us to do. So, slide 8. Is it something small he's asking you to give up? He could be asking you to give away one of your toys. Some of us find sharing hard, particularly when we're 3. It's quite difficult. And as we get older, maybe even more. But giving up telly time. Watching the news to give more time to Jesus. Give up some time with friends in order to get to know somebody new. Stop doing, you know what? When you're in the office and you're working away and you can see somebody needs a bit of help with something and you just want to do your own thing because you want to get it finished. You've got to step out. Got to be there. Give up that selfish intention of finishing to get on with. That's what I do in order to help somebody else. What is it for you? It could be a hobby. It's taking up a lot of your time. It could be something really good. But God wants you to give it up. Next slide. It could be something quite big. Our daughter, middle daughter, had her uni course all set up, and she went away on her gap year. Came back from her gap year and started to say, God's told me not to go to university. No, he hasn't. No! No, your university would be great. It'd be lovely. You'll really enjoy it. I know it's not quite the course, and maybe it, you know, X, Y, and Z. No, God's court said go to Nottingham with one friend she didn't know very well and set up a church. But there's lots of churches in Nottingham, Charlotte. You don't need to go there and do that. So she went to this grotty little area. They set up this church, which mainly attracted teenagers. They had the police called quite a lot. There was drugs, there was drink, there was everything. But there is now a little church in that grotty little place in Nottingham, meeting the needs, the small needs, the big needs, but in a small way, of the people who were there. She was obedient, and the disciples were obedient in getting the donkey. God has a plan. We're obedient to it. We sometimes have to give something up, lay something down. I'm always impressed with those people who say, God's asked me to give up my job, but I don't know what he's got for me next. That's a really hard one. I don't even think I could probably do that. But some people do, and sometimes they give up their job, and they seem to not have a job for quite a while, and then God gives them another one. So that fallow time could be a bit like the desert time when you meet with God much, because you're asking him for that job so much. God does seem a bit illogical sometimes. Maybe it's an attitude that we've got wrong. Maybe how we view God is wrong at the moment. It may be an attitude to something in our lives that we have to give up. And it could be that bad habit. You know that thing, that too many glasses of wine, too much TV, the wrong kind of television? There's lots of things, lots of habits that are just not good. Or he just may just want more of you. He loves to sit and chat with you. He doesn't like you rushing around everywhere, maybe. So sometimes we don't want to do it. We don't want to take that risk. Not prepared to step out. Trust level might be a bit low. It's hard to sacrifice. It's hard to give up. Jesus, as he rode into Jerusalem, would be thinking, I don't want to do this. I really don't want to be here. But he knew it was God's plan, and he was obedient to it. And we can thank him for that. So let's read verse 9, which shouts honor and glory to Jesus. And then I want us to have a bit of listening time, where we listen to what God's speaking to us today. And then we're going to respond together. So if you want to come up and start tinkling along, we'll read this verse together. If we can see it, the crowd that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven. So let's close our eyes. Let's sit down if we're standing. And let's listen. What is, do you know the next bit of God's plan for your life? Maybe we do, maybe we don't, but he's got a good plan for your life. A plan that's going to prosper you and not harm you. Jesus wants what's good for you. Let's ask Jesus, what do you want us to give up for you today? Maybe big, maybe small. Just listen to him now. might not make sense. It might be illogical, but we need to trust and obey. We're laying our lives down because we're thankful and we're grateful because He loves us. What can you lay down in order to fulfill that plan that your King has for you?